नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जा दुर्मति भीर जीर्यतो या न जीर्यते तां तृष्णां दुःखनिवहाम् शर्मकामोद्रुतं चजे। Yah, that which, translation. For those who are too attached to material enjoyment, sense gratification is very difficult to give up. Even when one is an invalid because of old age, one cannot give up such desires for sense gratification. Therefore, one who actually desires happiness must give up such unsatisfied desires, which are the cause of all tribulations. Please repeat. For those who are too attached to material enjoyment, sense gratification is very difficult to give up. Even when one is an invalid because of old age, one cannot give up such desires for sense gratification. Therefore, one who actually desires happiness must give up such unsatisfied desires, which are the cause of all tribulations. Purport. We have actually seen, especially in the Western countries, that men who have reached more than 80 years of age still go to nightclubs and pay heavy fees to drink wine and associate with women. Although such men are too old to enjoy anything, their desires have not ceased. Time deteriorates even the body itself, which is the medium for all sensual satisfaction. But even when a man becomes old and invalid, his desires are strong enough to dictate that he go here and there to satisfy the desires of his senses. Therefore, by the practice of bhakti yoga, one should give up his lusty desires, as explained by Sri Jamunacharya, Yaravadhi mama cheta krishna padaravinde Navanavarasa dhaman yujyatam rantum ashu Taravadhi bhatta nari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha bikara shushta nishtivanam cha. When one is Krishna conscious, he gets more and more happiness by discharging duties for Krishna. Such a person spits on sense gratification, especially that of sexual enjoyment. An experienced, advanced devotee is no longer interested in sex life. The strong desire for sex can be subdued only by advancement in Krishna consciousness. So I take this verse and giving class on this verse as especially meant for myself. Here the verse quoted in the purport by Jamunacharya is quoted by Prabhupada many times. Srila Prabhupada explained, Jamunacharya, before engaging in pure devotional service, he was a king. and therefore he had ample opportunity for enjoying sense gratification or association with women or sexual indulgence. But when he surrendered fully to Krishna and engaged in unalloyed devotional service without any expectation of return, when he became highly advanced in devotional service, then he wrote this verse. Of course, Yamunacharya is not an ordinary person. He's not an ordinary devotee. He was the spiritual master of Sri Ramanujacharya. So this is the position of one who is very advanced in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes those who are neophyte devotees, they want to take these instructions as indicative of their own development of consciousness and therefore make an attempt to imitate. But as Srila Prabhupada explained in the recorded class on Monday, I found it very interesting to listen to that class. Srila Prabhupada was saying that devotees should not try to imitate Rupa Goswami or Haridas Thakur. And he quoted his own spiritual master who wrote a poem addressing his mind. So the point was, Srila Prabhupada was saying, we should not think ourselves very, very advanced devotees, but should always engage in practical devotional service and especially preaching, and this will bring us to the advanced stage. So in Prabhupada's time and after, sometimes devotees took a hint from this verse and would spit on the lady devotees. Of course, Yamunacharya didn't say, when I see a woman, I spit on her. But due to some kind of fanaticism, there was a very, amongst certain class of devotees, very anti-women attitude that even went to that extent. So these are the instructions of King Jayati, not made prematurely. As we have been reading, he enjoyed sense gratification with Devayani, his wife, for he ruled his kingdom for 1,000 years. But finally he became disgusted that such material enjoyment, although apparently very pleasing, it gives no ultimate satisfaction. Therefore, even while engaging in household life, he began to internally surrender to Krishna and engage in pure devotional service so that he became detached from desires for sense gratification. So, I was fortunate to be a devotee in the time of Srila Prabhupada. At that time, it was easier to read his books in the sense that there were less books. When I joined ISKCON, just before joining in Boston, where the ISKCON Press was located, they were printing Nectar of Devotion. I would get some just loose pages from Nectar of Devotion before I joined, And I was reading those. First thing I read, the pages I got, I can still remember, were the offenses to be avoided. I was living a very unregulated life after graduating from college. And then I was reading, it's an offense to do this, don't wear red or blue in front of the deity, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. I thought, oh my God, this Krishna consciousness that is very repressive. And then after joining, there was at that time Bhagavad Gita, just an abridged edition of Bhagavad Gita, printed by Macmillan Company first. There was teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Ishopanishad. And then there was Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, and the second canto was printed in just individual chapters at first. Then gradually, as the years continued, the Bhagavatam came one volume at a time, one volume at a time. So naturally, it wasn't very difficult to read the first canto, second canto, and then wait for the next volume. It was a very exciting thing. When would the next volume arrive? Especially, I came to India in 1972. So although the new books would be quickly available to all the devotees in America, it took more time. Someone had to bring them to India. So it was very exciting to see the new book. When the new book would come, of course, everyone would read it very eagerly. Then, later on, after Prabhupada's disappearance and all the books were printed, I was studying the books very carefully, and I noticed that even I might read a chapter or I might read a volume of Bhagavatam, but after reading, if I tried to remember, well, what have I read? I could remember very little. Then I heard Prabhupada say, heard or read, Prabhupada said, if you want to study nicely and remember what you have studied, it is best to read and then summarize what you have read after reading. So I took that to heart and I began to read, because if you know you're going to have to summarize what you read after reading, then you will pay very strict attention to what you're reading. So I began to do that. And then gradually I decided to summarize the whole Bhagavatam in that way. After all, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. In the beginning, one must hear very nicely. Srila Prabhupada many times said that his own Guru Maharaj, he said, he marked me that I like to hear. He said, hearing my spiritual master, that was my hobby. Others would go away, but I would not go away. My spiritual master marked this. Hearing, then chanting, and then remembering. So it's very difficult, especially in the neophyte stage, to hear and chant continually. But if we are hearing and chanting very nicely, then we are, when we are going out or when we are anywhere, the memory will remain within our mind. So how much should one remember Srimad Bhagavatam? Well, at least I thought the storyline should be remembered and the main points which are made in the purport. So I was just, in preparation for this class, I was reading my summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now you have been attending the class of King Yayati for many days, so let's see how much we remember of just even the storyline. That Pururava, his son was Ayu, and he had a son, Nahusha. Nahusha's son was Yayati. Nahusha, he was called to the heavenly planets because of the absence of Indra. There was no one to rule the heavenly planets. Indra had killed Vritrasura, a very powerful demon. But then Indra understood by his talks that Vritrasura, although looking like a very fearful demon, he spoke like a fully realized soul, like an advanced devotee. And he was actually born in a Brahmin family. So Indra could not escape the sin of Brahmahatya. Every morning we circumambulate Tulsi Devi, Jani Kani Cha Papani Brahmahatyadi Kani Cha. By circumambulating Tulsi Devi, we free ourselves from the sins of Brahmahatya, etc. I have read many Puranas because I was working for Rasa Bihari Lal and Sons in Vrindavan. He wanted many Puranas to print. As you know, there's 18 major Puranas. 6 are intended for those in the mode of goodness, and 6 are intended for those in the mode of passion, and 6 are intended for those in the mode of ignorance. So Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnava Priyam Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. This is the spotless Purana that is very dear to the Vaishnavas. So in the Puranas, the grave sins are often described and the punishments awarded to one who performs these grave sins. It is always mentioned 3 things are the most grave sins, very much condemned. Brahmahatya, killing of a Brahmin, and having sexual relations with the wife of one's spiritual master, and drinking wine. These 3 are always especially mentioned. So, anyway, Indra was suffering from the reactions to Brahmahatya. So he went to atone for that. He was absent. So Nahusha was called to sit on the throne of Indra. But naturally, as naturally happens, when an ordinary person, of course Nahusha is not ordinary, but still not so advanced in devotional service, when a person is given a very powerful position, has as at his beck and call everyone else as his servant, unlimited money and power, what happens? Like drinking some powerful wine, he becomes intoxicated. This is seen, of course, again and again and again. So Nahusha, sitting on the throne of Indra, became intoxicated. And he thought, I would like to enjoy Indra's wife, Sachi Devi. But she was not inclined, being a chaste woman, she complained to the brahmanas. So it was arranged that Nahusha would commit a great offense and then be thrown down from heaven. It is described he was being carried on his palanquin by thousands of Brahma rishis. Cannot even imagine the position. And he happened to touch one with his foot by the will of destiny. And so then he was cursed. So anyway, he became a snake. So in Bhagavatam, it doesn't actually tell what happened when Nahusha became a serpent. But in Mahabharata, that story is there, that when the Pandavas were in exile, then one time Bhima wandered off alone into the forest. It's described he was killing thousands of animals, lions, deer, boar. It's a little hard to understand, but there are many things that we read in the Vedic literatures that are hard to understand. Therefore, Prabhupada quotes a verse, achintya ye kala bhava natams tartena kartichit. Things that are inconceivable for us, we should not speculate on them. Oh, why is it like that? Maybe it is like this, maybe it is like that. It is inconceivable. Then how we can speculate? So Bhima was wandering through the forest, and this way he came upon a huge serpent living in a mountain cave. This was Nahusha. He was immediately captured by Nahusha the serpent. Somebody is feeling a little sleepy. Jayapataka Maharaj, his cure for this is Goranga! So, the serpent grabbed Bhima. Of course, Bhima is very strong, so powerful that he had no fear of anyone, not even the demigods. But somehow, although Bhima struggled to get out of his clutches, he could not, because Nahusha, in the form of a serpent, had been given the benediction that whoever he would capture, that person would lose his prowess. So there was some conversation, and the serpent explained, only when I was cursed to become a serpent, but it was said that when someone would answer my questions about the nature of the absolute truth, then I'll be freed from this curse. So meanwhile, Yudhisthira noticed that Bhima was gone. So he began to look, where's Bhima? So it's described, Mahabharata, that he could easily follow Bhima's path because of thousands of slain lions and deer. Then he came to where Bhima was being held by the snake. So Yudhisthira offered, even take me in exchange for my brother, because Yudhisthira knew that to regain their kingdom, they depended upon the strength of Bhima more than his own. But the serpent explained, if someone answers my questions, then I will let Bhima go. So there were two questions, especially interesting. One question is, what is a Brahman? The other question is, what is the absolute truth? So Yudhisthira explained, the absolute truth is that which is beyond this realm of duality. And therefore, it is the Supreme Person who experiences no material happiness and distress. And what is a Brahman? Yudhisthira's answer is very nice, because especially in India, and especially in former times, just like you must know that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, there was great opposition to his preaching by the caste Brahmins. Even they wanted to kill him. Why? Because he was giving Brahmin initiation to those who were not born in Brahmin families. So Prabhupada also had opposition for the same reason, especially that he gave Brahmin initiation and sannyas to foreigners. But Yudhisthira explains that a Brahmin is one who has the qualities of truthfulness, tolerance, forgiveness, mercy, etc. He is a Brahmin. And then he explained, it doesn't matter if one is born in a Brahmin family or not, one who possesses these qualities is actually a Brahmin. So in this way, Nahusha was released from the curse. So Yayati became king, the son of Nahusha, after Nahusha retired. So the story was that, just in summary, one day Princess Sharmishta, daughter of King Vrishabharva, was going in the gardens along with her thousands of girlfriends, including the daughter of the king's spiritual master, Shukracharya Devayani. And they went to bathe in a pond, a lake, leaving all their clothes on the shore. Then Lord Shiva, along with Parvati, came riding by on his bull carrier. So quickly all the girls came out of the lake and dressed themselves to cover their bodies. But it so happened that Devayani noticed that Sharmishta put on her clothes. So she became very angry. So this is the general fault of women, and general fault of many who are not advanced in Krishna consciousness, to become enraged or very angry due to a small fault. So she became very angry and she spoke very insulting words to Devayani. Actually, Devayani is the daughter of Shukracharya, Brahmin girl. And Sharmishta is a Kshatriya. But still, she spoke in a very insulting way. That you're just like taking my dress, just like a crow or a dog wanting to eat the ghee meant for sacrifice. So, you're just like a crow waiting at our, you people, the Brahmin class, you're just like crows who come waiting just for us to give you some little handout of prasad. You see that when you're eating, having prasad outside, cats may come, crows may come, hoping for a little bit. So she's insulting Devayani, you're just like that. Then Devayani gave back some insulting words. But Sharmishta could not tolerate it. She threw Devayani in a well and then went back to the palace with her friends. By the will of destiny, King Yayati happened by. He was thirsty, wanted to get some water from the well, but inside was a naked girl. So in a very gentlemanly way, he took his upper cloth and gave it to her and lifted her out. But Devyani immediately became captivated by the handsome king. She wanted to become his wife. So Yayati was little hesitant because such marriage is not very much appreciated. There's intercaste marriage called anuloma and pratiloma. If a Brahmin marries a lower caste girl, that's anuloma, that is considered okay. But if a lower caste man marries a Brahmin girl, then that is condemned. So King Yayati Kshatriya, he was hesitating to accept a Brahmin girl, but she reminded him that, no, I was cursed by Kaccha, the son of Buddha. I was cursed that I will never be able to marry a Brahmana. So therefore it is all right. So the marriage took place in due course of time. And at that time, King Vrishabharva warned his daughter-in-law, I mean warned King Yati's wife, not daughter-in-law, warned that, Shukracharya warned his daughter, husband, Yayati, that don't ever let, because there was a, when Sharmishta went back to her father, she was still very angry. And then Devyani was also very angry after King Yati took her out of the well. She went to her father and complained. Sharmishta did this, this, this. So the Brahmin, Shukracharya, he very much regretted that I am the priest, the family priest of the king, and I have my daughter, and I have to get involved in all of these politics. But she is my daughter. I must satisfy. So reluctantly, in an angry mood, he went to see the king to complain what his daughter had done. The king knew that the Shukracharya was coming in an angry mood, so he went quickly out into the road, fell down at his feet. Then Shukracharya said, you can be excused, but you must fulfill the condition of my daughter Devyani. That whenever she marries, she demands that your daughter, Sharmishta, and all her friends must become her slaves. So being very afraid of the Brahmin's curse, the king agreed to this. We read in the former ages, of course, the Varnashram system, the Brahmins are at the top of society, just as the brain is at the top of the body. So in Varnashram society in ages past, the kings were actually very afraid of the Brahmins. Although the kings had their vast armies, they were very powerful and equipped with all weapons, still they were afraid of Brahmins because of the Brahmins' curse. So now Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram within society. Therefore, he first created a society of Brahmins. But it'll be a little harder at this time because those who are politicians, administrators in society, they won't be afraid of you. because you don't have the power to curse them, immediately become a snake. So, the king was afraid of Shukracharya's curse, so he agreed. Then Devyani Yayati were married, and Sharmista all had to go and act as Devyani's slaves. Shukracharya warned Yayati, don't ever let Sharmista sleep with you. But then Devyani got a child. Sharmista was envious. She also wanted a child. She came to Yayati. It is the duty of a Kshatriya never to refuse a woman who comes to him under the influence of lust. So he accepted her, and then she became pregnant. Devyani came to know of this. She left home. She went to her father. Yayati followed her, fell down at her feet, begged her, no, please, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Of course, this is the miserable condition of a man, husband. But still, she was not pacified. So Shukracharya cursed Yayati. You will immediately become invalid and old. He said, no, please, please, I've not satisfied my unlimited desires for sense gratification. So finally, he gave him a way out, not so much out of compassion for her, but out of compassion for his own daughter. He knew that she was also very lusty. She had also not satisfied her desires. So he said, okay, if you can transfer your old age to someone else, you can take that person's youth. So Yayati approached his sons, and his son Puru agreed to transfer his youth and accept Yayati's old age. So in this way, Yayati continued to enjoy for 1,000 years, and then finally his Krishna consciousness awakened within his heart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that actually within the heart of everyone, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai. Krishna Prema, or Krishna consciousness, is the original consciousness of all living beings that is lying dormant within the heart of everyone. It doesn't have to be gotten by any artificial means. It is already there. So, coming to his senses, then King Yayati wanted to explain this to his wife, so he narrated this story of the he-goat and she-goat, and now we have come to this verse. So, in previous times, Vedic society was so arranged just to easily bring everyone to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Tomorrow's verse is an example of how strict society was arranged, that Matra Swasra Duhitra Va Na Vivekta Asino Bhavet Balavadindriya Gramam Vidvam Sam Karshati. That Prabhupada quotes this verse, and one time he explained. This verse says that a man should not sit in a secluded place, even with his mother, even with his daughter, even with his sister. Why? Balavadindriya Gramam, the senses are so strong that he may become attracted to sex even sitting with his mother, daughter, or sister. Then Prabhupada says, well, someone may object. Well, this may be true for a very coarse, low-class person, but not for a cultured man. But the verse says, no, vidvansam api karsati. Even vidvan, even a very learned personality, it may happen. So, of course, these ideal instructions are there, may not be possible or even practical to exactly follow them. For example, Srila Prabhupada, of course you know very well, he went to America, preached, started ISKCON, accepted boys and girls, men and women equally. He explained that in American society, there's free mixing of men and women, boys and girls. So he had to do like that. Then in the temples, the brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, and married men and women were all mixing very freely together, much together. Of course, the men and women sleeping separately, but for service, very much together. So sometimes this question would come up that with such free mixing, how can one, it's very difficult for brahmacharis or sannyasis. So Prabhupada admitted that this is true, but this is necessary for preaching. So he would say, if it is too difficult and you want to remain brahmachari, then go to the forest. Then at other time he said, actually anyone who is in the temple, brahmachari, or anyone who's living in the temple and so many girls, beautiful women are coming, anyone who is living in the temples and who is not disturbed by this, then he must be paramahansa, a jivan mukta. He must be a very great on the highest platform of devotional service. So it's a somewhat of an austerity, but this is the austerity necessary for widely propagating Krishna consciousness. So generally when I come to Bombay, I would stay at Juhu, the temple. But this time I wanted to stay at Radha Gopinath Temple because I heard so much about it, the nice loving mood. As someone, I stayed here just briefly for a few hours some years ago, and a senior godbrother said, oh, this is a devotee-friendly temple. So I wanted to experience kind of the inner mood. I've been here many days. I see the temple and activities nicely. I don't see the inner mood because nobody talks to me. But what to do? I am very fallen and very low. I don't blame anyone for that. So, but I have some relation with this temple. My time is over, but just 2 minutes. Actually, I was living in the temple at Juhu before the Radha Gopinath Temple was established from 1979 to 1986. I was pujari in Calcutta from 72 to 79. But then the political situation was such that I came to Bombay. And at that time I met Mahaprabhu Das, who had already started his Friday evening program at his house in Kar. But he was coming to the temple much, especially on Sundays, and he was experiencing frustration because at that time there was a zonal acharya system. So for Bombay there were two gurus, Gopal Krishna Maharaj and Kirtanananda Swami. So Mahaprabhu had taken initiation from Kirtanananda Swami, who attracted more of a higher educated or intelligent class. But he was having trouble preaching within the temple because the temple was dominated by the other party. So I met him once and he expressed his frustrations. So I told him I thought I could help him. He organized a meeting of many life members who were coming every Sunday to the temple. He wanted to unify them and do some more preaching. So I spoke to them and I told him that all of you life members who are interested in Krishna consciousness a little bit seriously, you should do two things. You should chant japa every day without fail. In the morning when you get up, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chant japa. Start with one round anyway, four rounds, but chant, chant, and don't stop. And invite the devotees to your house every week. I said, if you do this, invite devotees to your house, and then go to other people's houses when they have programs inviting devotees. With more association of devotees, with more chanting, you will quickly advance. So then Mahaprabhu began inviting me to preach every Friday and at all the house programs, and quickly the congregation of Kirtanananda's disciples increased dramatically. But then due to some circumstance or other, then I left that. So very happy to see all of you here. I must congratulate you. You're doing a wonderful job. There is no doubt in my mind. Even when I walk to the shop, go into the street, the taxi drivers slow down. They say to me, Hare Krishna. Some handicapped man, he always says to me, Hare Krishna. Everyone is maybe he's Pujari at the Babulna temple. He greets me respectfully. So this way I know you are having a very good influence on the society. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes, yes. Jorse Bolo. Jorse, Jorse.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Was very nice presentation. As we've seen the storyline of King Yayati, how he became attracted to the opposite sex. And we have seen also the many personalities involved in that pastime, in that story of King Yayati. And then you also make reference that if one takes to Krishna consciousness, then he can overcome this influence. Obviously, practicing Krishna consciousness means that we don't advance immediately. We don't come to the pure state immediately. It takes time to get there.
But don't take so much time asking your question. Ask your question directly.
So the question is, how in our practice of Krishna consciousness, until we get to that pure advanced stage, can we withstand the attractions of the opposite sex? How we can, you know, be secured in our practice?
I was in Singapore for 3 months a while back, and one of the devotees there told me that many of the devotees have a saying, fake it until you make it. He was upset. He was saying they should say practice until you make it, but they are saying fake it until you make it. But don't be like that. Don't fake it that you have no attraction. until you make it or come to that advanced stage. Well, Prabhupada would always say, of course, anyone, especially young boy, young man, is going to feel strong pressure for sex enjoyment. There's only one alternative, is to strongly pray to Krishna, "Oh Krishna, oh Krishna, please save me from being victimized in this way." Otherwise, if that is too strong, one should get married. Better to be a sincere sweeper in the street than a charlatan meditator, Prabhupada said. If you can sincerely practice brahmacharya, then that is first class. But if it is too difficult, one should not be ashamed to get married. Otherwise, tibrena bhakti yogena akama sarvakamo va moksha kama udaradi tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. This is a verse often quoted by Prabhupada. You may be full of desires, or you may have no desires, or you may desire liberation. But in any case, tibrena bhakti yogena, very strongly execute devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada explained this word tibra, means very intense. Said just like the rays of the sun in May, if you go out in the middle of the day, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun is very intense on your head, especially shaved head. I remember Calcutta is even hotter than Bombay. In the 70s, I used to go out in the hot season in the summer, preaching in the middle of the day with a shaved head. My head would blister. And sometimes I would feel like falling down in the street. So that very intense sun ray, like that, we must execute Krishna consciousness. Especially by Shravanam Kirtanam. When I was, I'm sorry if I'm taking too much time, but I just say 2 minutes. My best period of Krishna consciousness was when I was pujari in Calcutta in the 70s. I would wake up, perform Mangal Arati, then I addressed the deities. Then the president insisted that I go out and make life members also, because the temple needed money. But he agreed that some money could go for the deities' account. So I'd go out and preach, collect money for the deities. Then I'd buy the material and jari and other things. I would sew the dresses for the deities myself and then dress the deities. Because I was very strongly attracted to the opposite sex and that kind of enjoyment, so I thought, let me make the strongest possible endeavor to overcome that. So I engaged myself not only in that deity worship, but I understood that all of Krishna consciousness is based on Shravanam Kirtanam and ultimately Shravanam. So I began to study Bhagavad Gita very carefully, and I memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit and started memorizing Bhagavatam also in an endeavor to tibrena bhakti yogena. But still it was not easy. But I was in household life. So, of course, my wife was like a sannyasi. That made it difficult. But there's no alternative. There is no alternative. To overcome this, you must engage very, very strongly in devotional service. Is that all right? Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna.